Okay, that is absolutely where we don't have to depend on anybody. And I will not only send my word, but I will confirm my word, yea, saith God, with signs following. For I will save the lost. I will deliver the captive. I will heal the oppressed. I will deliver them that sit in darkness, and I will heal the sick, that you may know that your God, your God, your God is the same God, yea, yesterday, today, and forever, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. For 4 days, I've been fighting this fullness that closed off this ear 100% and then hurt when you press on it. It hurt when you lay on that side. Can't hear anything through that ear. And when I got up this morning and I was talking to the Lord, I couldn't hear my voice. It's like it was so full. Until I couldn't hear the volume of my voice. I couldn't, and I thought I'm going to have to kind of watch it when I preach because I don't know how loud I'm going to get. Amen. But then since I preach full out, it doesn't much matter. Can you say amen sometimes? But I prayed this morning. Now, I said, Lord, this thing really needs to open up. Lord, Father, I'm looking to you. And then I went to take a shower, and I realized it was affecting my equilibrium, and I had to grab onto something. I felt kind of, you know how when your ear problem, inner ear is affected, your equilibrium can be affected. And I thought, boy, I really don't feel very, very good. And then that kind of affects your stomach and gives you kind of a churning feeling in your stomach. So the fullness in here, and you can't hear out of that. It feels like your head is big as one of them big old pumpkins you see, amen, or big watermelon. And then you got this thing like that, and then you got this thing like that. And I said, Lord, I'm going to preach. Amen. I've got an unbroken record for almost 37 years. Everybody say 37 years. See, what I'd like to get up to people is, if you will press on in, God will do mighty things for you. But if you give up and throw in the towel, amen, then it's very difficult for the Lord to honor a faith that isn't really functioning in the way that we act. Amen. The devil will not only keep you out of church, he'll run you from church if he has his way. But if you tell him you ain't going to have your way, can you say amen? How many know you can always go home? Amen. Amen. There's something that sets in on Christians, I notice on Sunday morning when your heart gets cold toward the Lord. I call it morbus sabbaticus. Everybody say morbus sabbaticus. It's just that feeling of, boy, I really don't feel like going to church today. Amen. And you get up and you say, I really don't feel like going to church. It's morbus sabbaticus, bad case of morbus sabbaticus. It sets in when you wake up in the morning on Sunday. It really gets severe about time to go to church. But if you go lay back down in the bed, it lets up. It amazingly kind of goes away. And then about church time in the evening, boy, it sets right in again. Can you say hallelujah? And a lot of Christians, I think, are afflicted with what I call more of a sabbaticus, but it's really not that. You know what it really is? Amen. Their hearts are getting cold, and they don't have an initiative, and it don't take much to keep them from God's house and God's presence and God's people and God's word. But let me remind you today, faith comes. Amen. It's a consistent thing that we need in our life by hearing, not having heard. Can you say amen? You might come to church and hear something that you know by heart, but in the hearing of it, under the anointing, faith is stimulated anew and afresh. Can you say amen? Faith comes by hearing consistently, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And when your faith begins to rise up, you can rise up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, just thought I'd run that by you, and we'll pray for his morbus sabbaticus. Actually, we don't have to pray for it because you already defeated it. Praise God. He's here today. Praise the Lord. He's in a nice suit, too. Praise God. He don't look like he had morbus sabbaticus, does he? Praise the Lord. Amen. You won't let it set in. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Exodus 25. Exodus in the old covenant 25:17 through 22. We've been talking about furnishings in the tabernacle, in Moses' tabernacle, that portable temple before it was finally built. And we've been talking about the brazen altar last week, before that the linen veil, and it all relating directly to Christ, amen. The brazen altar was representing the cross. All of this furniture is to bring us to one place. All of the furnishings are all working together to bring us to one place. And that is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Can you say amen? Everybody say the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. We want to talk about the mercy seat today. Amen. The tabernacle was to teach us the grace and forgiveness and mercy of God. That's the message of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ before he ever came. It was in type and foreshadow. The tabernacle was to teach us the language of God so that when Jesus finally appeared, there would be a people prepared who could understand the spiritual revelations from heaven that are all in Jesus Christ. If you don't understand the tabernacle, you will not fully understand Jesus. If you don't understand the sacrificial system, you're not going to understand Jesus. Now, all of you that are Pentecostal oriented, that have just come to church to get a blessing, amen, I'm going to tell you something. You don't perish for lack of blessing. The reason people are destroyed as Christians is singular. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's why Paul said, when someone comes into the congregation, though I speak 10,000 words in other tongues. Amen. One thing I'm going to tell you this morning, and you can like it or you can lump it, because people like or lump about everything I say. Amen. And what God says is taken the same way. The Holy Spirit will not give me a message for you so you can get knowledge and interrupt that message and the people around you. Thank you for the hearty amen. That's confusion, period. I don't care if it feels like fire or it feels like blessing. It's confusion. Amen? Everybody say confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. If he's going to give me a message for you and interrupt me while I'm trying to bring the message to you, then I'm going to sit down and see what happens next. Because nothing's going to happen. And no knowledge is going to be acquired. Paul said, if a man comes into your audience and you're all having a Holy Ghost good time, shouting, talking in tongues, he said, I'd rather speak five words of wisdom. If someone's sitting beside you and you just came here to get a blessing or go somewhere to get a blessing, as many circles people do, and they need to get knowledge because they're going to perish without it, and they can't get knowledge because someone beside them is distracting them, that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for the heart of you. How can you judge that? Because he's not the author of confusion. Amen. Paul said, this is not a message against tongues. I speak in tongues. He said, as a matter of fact, if we want to talk about tongues, I talk in tongues more than anybody. Amen? More than you all. Everybody say you all. Now that's something to say in a Pentecostal meeting. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, but in the congregation, when we're assembled together, and it's time to communicate the word of God, I would rather speak five words of wisdom. So when someone comes in, because you prayed it in the prayer, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. Israel, in ancient times, moved by trumpets. There was a trumpet blown. The trumpet of assembly, when it was time to worship God, there was the ram's horn was blown in a particular, peculiar way. And they knew to assemble, it's time to worship God. Like Yom Kippur, they begin to blow the trumpet. It's time to assemble and worship and praise God for his mercy and his grace. If it's time to go to war, there was a particular sign. An enemy is coming. Let's assemble for the day of battle. Let's get together, stand in unity, and watch God come through and defeat our enemies. Can you say amen? And each sound was distinct. But if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, they didn't know where to come to worship or dress for war. The trumpet gives an uncertain sound. No one knows what to do. and my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And my people go into captivity for a lack of knowledge. In most Pentecostal meetings, you won't see many people marking their Bibles, particularly in those meetings that are gift-oriented. Amen. They just want to feel or see or experience something, but they don't learn anything. If you fall out and get up without knowledge, you're still the mark for Satan to destroy. If you get holy laughter and laugh the whole service, you're still a mark for Satan, because laughing at him will not do away with him. Amen? Amen. I had a guy come out of one. And I'm not putting down expressions of the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, people are not perishing for a lack of spiritual experiences. People are perishing for a lack of knowledge. Plain and simple. That's why the Bible said we are not ignorant of His devices. We understand His stratagems. Amen. And we are well prepared to overcome them. Glory be to God. This knowledge of what God has done in Christ for us arms us against an adversary who is well known as the accuser of the brethren. Amen. His name, devil, diablos, simply means a maligner. And you can see it in these angels ascending and descending in the presence of God. Jacob saw that corridor between heaven and earth, and he saw angels ascending and descending. And an angel came up unauthorized into the presence of God, but God tolerated him for just... He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I want to talk to you about your creation. I want to talk to you about man that you love and you're in covenant with, and you want to bless, and you put hedges around righteous men, and I want to talk to you about them. If it wasn't for that hedge, if it wasn't for those blessings, they'd turn on you. They'd curse you to your face." And God is listening to him, malign, fallen man. And he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Then he said something that a lot of teachers try to discredit, because they say Job's problem was a lack of faith. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. They think if Job just had their tapes, hey, if they just had Job's troubles, we'd see what their tapes would do. Come on, I feel like Dumbo this morning. Amen. No, let's don't give Job your tapes. Let's give you his troubles and see how you react. Amen. Living in your penthouse, whisk away from your audience in a limousine. Can you sing? Going back to your compound, living where none of these things can touch you. Can you say, man, living in the lap of luxury? Let's pull the hedge down. Let's knock the walls down. Let's take away the gates and the security guards. Amen. Amen. And let's see what would happen. Listen to what God said about, I've heard all this. Have you ever heard these things about Job? Job said something about his kids. Amen. He said, I will always sacrifice. I'm always interceding for my children. And when things begin to happen, he said, that I greatly feared has come upon me. They said it was Job's fear instead of faith that let this happen. Now, this is not why this happened. That's not what the Bible says. I'm so glad I'm in a church where people actually read that thing. Amen. Amen. That actually want to get down in it and get some knowledge from it. Can you say amen? Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? They say he needs their tapes. I say they need his patience. Amen. I don't know how they would react under his conditions. But I know how he reacted. And God knew how he was going to react. I love that, because God knows how you're going to react. Wow. You don't know till you get there. But God knows. He knew Peter was going to deny him when Peter was hugging him up. Amen. You don't know till you get there. Amen. But God knows before you get there. And no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you, personally, uniquely you, This is not something across the board. This is individually and personally. Amen. Isn't it good that God deals with us on an individual, personal basis that you are able to bear? Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Make no mistake about it. With God for you, God in your corner, God on your side, God giving you grace, and God strengthening you. You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Can you say amen? God knows you. If you considered my servant Job, amen. And I've heard all these people discredit him. I heard them discredit Paul. It's amazing when ministers raise themselves above the apostles and the prophets. Amen. And speak despite what God has clearly said in his word. He called him a perfect man. Well, we know that wasn't sinlessly perfect. But in his heart attitude toward God. Everybody say heart attitude toward God. See, if you got the right heart attitude, and God sees that, he will help you with your weak flesh. His grace and mercy will work in your behalf because of your weak flesh. What he's looking for, listen, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those who are absolutely sinlessly perfect. No, whose hearts are perfect toward him. Can you say amen? Everybody say whose hearts are perfect toward him. Do you understand Job's perfection now? It wasn't sinless perfection because that's not even a New Testament concept. But in his heart, he had a perfect attitude toward God. Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? Can you say amen? And the devil says, of course I've considered him. He said, yeah, you know, if you let me at him, if you let me at him, if you let me at him, and let me begin to take from him and subtract from him and do harm to him, he'll turn on you like the rest of them. He'll shake his fist at heaven. And God said, all right, give it your best shot. You can touch everything in his life, but you can't touch his life. And Satan said, well, if you're going to let me at him, you're going to have to take that wall down. Aren't you glad when the enemy, Isaiah 59, verse 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can you say amen? What happens when we intercede? The Bible said we stand in the gap and we make up what? That wall's in the righteous. We make up the hedge that sin has caused, that great gap. We stand in the gap. Everybody say, we stand in the gap. We plead the blood of Christ, which is standing in the gap. Can you say amen? The blood of Jesus makes intercession. Amen. Doesn't cry for justice. It cries for mercy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God had to take down the wall to let the devil at him. And you know the story. It all happened in a tightly compressed time frame. While one man is yet speaking, another man comes, and while he's yet speaking, another comes. And in one day, you lose your kids, you lose your crops, you lose all of your animals, you lose your wealth, and shortly after that, you lose your friends. Because they figure, see, every time trouble hits any of you, people figure that something wrong with you and God, and maybe there is, but it doesn't have to be for trouble to come. All those that live godly shall never have problems. I mean, I can just see, I can hear Tiny Tim echoing in the back. Remember Tiny Tim? Tiptoe through the window, through the billows, in the window pane, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Every time I hear him talk like that, I think of Tiny Tim. And I don't mean the one in Scrooge, that Tiny Tim. Amen. And Miss Elizabeth, who married him, I don't know. Anyway, different. Yeah, Miss Vicky. Tiny Tim and Miss Vicky. However, I was glad to hear that Tiny Tim got married. It really, it just settled some issues. Praise God. Right then and there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This is not, amen, the kind of teaching. This is the kind of teaching that says after you've suffered for a while, amen, after you've came to an end of yourself, after you've discovered for yourself how weak your flesh really is, Can you say amen? After you're suffering for a while, what does God do through that time that you're wondering where He is and what He's up to? After you have suffered for a while, the Scripture said He will establish, He will establish you and He will strengthen, settle you and He will strengthen you. Everybody say He will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Amen. Establish you means set your feet on a strong foundation. Strengthen you means that when you are weak and you look to Him, then are you made strong with His strength. Can you say amen? Settle you means that now you rest in the full assurance, amen, that all things are working together for good because you love the Lord and you're called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? And you're settled in your faith. Hallelujah. No matter what comes or what goes, my God is on the throne and my God is in control. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Wow. That's what happens when He establishes you, strengthens you, and settles you. But what comes before He can do that and bring that kind of maturity? What comes first? Tribulation. How many here are biblical in that sense? You are tribulated. Amen. If you're not, you don't live in this world. You're from another planet. Tiptoe through the window. I can hear it echoing when they preach these things. In this world, you shall have tribulation, anguish, and pressure. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That meant I have went before you. I have robbed it of power to harm you. If you keep your trust in me, I can bring you through it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior He is today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Job lost everything, but he didn't lose his faith. His wife even turned against him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job rose up. Amen. And he had these questions. Don't get me wrong. He asked all kinds of questions. And God began to talk about His sovereignty to Job, something a lot of Christians don't like to hear about, that God has actually got a plan and a purpose for everything in your life, and you can't control it with your faith. You can only bow to Him by faith. Amen. Cast your care upon the Lord. Amen. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding or your head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust also unto Him. Commit thy way means your life, everything in it, what He wants to leave there, what He wants to subtract. Commit your way unto the Lord. Let Him do the choosing. Can you say amen? Until He can do the choosing, you are not committed fully unto Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Amen. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Everybody thinks they know what it is. Because it is what you believe is what God should be doing and ought to be doing in your life. It is not what you think. It is what God wills. Oh, by the way, when you try to think alongside Him because you become spiritually, biblically astute and spiritually, minded. He said, my ways are not your ways. And everybody thinking, well, yeah, maybe a little bit difference. Amen? Just a tad. So he goes on to say, my ways are not your ways. In fact, my ways are higher than your ways. And somebody needs to say, thank you. Can you say amen? As far, not as the heaven that we can see, but way beyond that. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are above your ways. So he goes on to say, Jeremiah goes on to say, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Incredible words. Whole teaching series out there from a televangelist, how to chart your own course. And if you read it in the New International, I think in New International it reads this way. It's not within man that walketh to chart his own course. So you can't chart your own course. Amen. You have to figure out what God wants by just yielding to Him. God's will is like a current. If you ever get in it, it'll take you where He wants you to be. Then you say amen. If you're struggling, you're struggling against the current. Amen. Amen. Brother Bimble, I've been struggling for years to find the will of the Lord. You know why you're probably struggling? Because you're in it and you don't like where it's taking you. Amen. You're probably in it and don't like where it's going. So you're, I got to find God's will because this can't be it. Can you say, man, me down here in this little church, are you kidding me? Look at my suit this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, I am too powerfully anointed, amen, for this little congregation. My. This can't be the will of the Lord. I better get a resume out there. Glory to God. Get my resume out. Amen. There's got to be churches somewhere in America that can appreciate what I bring to the pulpit. Oh, that's really going to get me somewhere in God, isn't it? Amen. That's nothing but pride. He may get in the pulpit, but he'll have God's resistance every Sunday. Amen. Spirit won't flow through that mess. Glory be to God. We got to get in it. Amen. If he wants, David said, David was a mighty king of Israel. He was used to all the privileges of royalty. But he said, let me tell you something. When I get near that temple, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll step off that throne any day. I'll lay aside these royal robes any day. I'd rather be the doorkeeper. Can you say amen in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? That's why God made him the king of Israel. That's why God anointed him with that horn of oil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what God is looking for. Wow. Woo! Bible professor teaching at a prominent Bible college. Young ministers getting ready to go out and fill pulpits in America. Said, teaching them all we've taught about the Bible, all we've taught about Christ to them. And yet they come to me privately. And it shocks me what they ask me. As they're nearing graduation, he said, they come to me. And they say, Professor, where do you think, what portion, what state, what parts of America, where should I send my resume? Where do they pay the best? Where do they pay the best? Can you imagine someone filling the pulpit of a church that the only criterion for being there is where can I have the best benefits, live in the best house? Where's God? Where's God's anointing? God's leadership? Where's the Spirit of God in any of that? That means we have hirelings. The Bible said something happens when the wolf comes. A hireling flees when the wolf comes. He ain't going to get ripped or hurt. Amen. Trying to protect sheep that he has no personal love for or investment in. Amen. He's a hireling. Amen. But the good shepherd owns those sheep. And the good shepherd says, amen, I will literally lay down my life for the sheep. Can you say amen? Amen. There are people paying the preacher to tell them what they want to hear. And there are preachers preaching to get paid today. But if a God-called man ever gets in the pulpit, it's all going to change. Can you say amen? Whether you pay him or not, he's going to tell you what God said. And if you don't pay him, he'll make tents like Paul did. Can you say amen? And preach the truth anyhow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Our commitment to truth is supposed to hold us in there. God wants you to know him. God wants you to have knowledge of him. The primary knowledge is knowledge of him. Knowledge of him. The greatest knowledge of all is knowledge of him. That's why Paul said, oh, that I may know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's spiritual maturity. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. Arm yourself with what? This knowledge. Amen. With the same mind. For he that is suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, Here's that acquiescence. Here's that bowing. Here's that worship. Amen. But to the will of God. Amen. Praise God. Suffering in the flesh doesn't mean that the devil is trampling on me. In fact, he's under our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Suffering in the flesh means not my will but thine be done at the cost of my own flesh. I put the flesh on the cross. There have been people I wanted to slap. However, it was no one as large as him. But I didn't. And my flesh suffered. It got crucified. It didn't go. Listen, before I became a Christian, how many were lost before you got saved? Let me see your hand. That was B.C., before Christ. Before Christ, I was little, Brother Taylor, but I was wiry. I was ready. I mean, it didn't matter if I got beat as long as I got my licks in. Because even if you got beat up, you know, somebody say, what happened to you? And I was proud of it. My lips all busted and swole up. My eye all swole shut. And I went on to school because those are battle scars. They say, that boy will fight you. Even if you beat him half to death like that, he'll still fight you. Amen. I remember I got in a fight in a football situation one time. Amen. And these big guys, you know. And after the play had been run, this guy come across the line and shoved. A big guy, a friend of mine, shoved him right down, bam, right onto his back. And I didn't even think about it. I should have took my helmet off is the first thing. That's the first mistake I made. I should have at least kept my helmet on. And I took my helmet off and I threw it down. And I walked over to this big fella and I said, if you want to hit somebody, and I shoved him, I said, hit me. And I stuck my... Boy... he come across like that and jacked my jaw. I went home that night and I had to eat soup for a week. I couldn't chew. My jaw, it may have been fractured. We didn't have no insurance. They don't take you to the doctor. They hand you a bowl of soup. They're sitting there eating fish and hush puppies. I'm sitting there with a bowl of tomatoes. It wasn't even vegetable soup because I couldn't close my mouth without pain all the way up my head and ears. Whole week I'm sipping soup. And then I graduated to oatmeal. Oh, it was so good, my first bowl of oatmeal. I kind of, but I was a bad man on the football field. Can you say amen? Listen to me today. Amen. When I hold that stuff back, when I hold, you know something's harder to hold back than that? This right here. You want to put the flesh on the cross? Amen. The Bible said the tongue is a little member. It's an unruly evil. It's set on fire of hell. And no man by himself and in and of himself can tame it. I said no man. If you don't believe it, you can get around tongue-talking people where it looks like God is in total control. But if they don't bow to him completely and surrender to him, you're going to find out after a while. Can you say, man, you cross them. Just cross them one time. I'm not talking about cursing you out. I'm talking about getting over on the devil's side and wanting to malign you. Amen. Destroy your influence. Attack your character. Try to get everybody they can influence to look at you, amen, critically from that moment on and not respect you spiritually at all. The tongue is an unruly evil set on fire of hell. Amen. And no man can tame it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit and we need to be yielded to God. Can you say amen? We need to arm ourselves with Christ's mind. He that suffered in the flesh. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight. Oh, it's so hard. Amen. That's the hard. It's not hard not to slap people. Can you say amen? Because you're going to get in, you know, big trouble. It's this thing here that's hard. Lady came to a minister one time and said, Pastor, I've criticized you. I've criticized all the deacons, all the leadership in the church. In fact, I've criticized everybody in the church and I've criticized the church itself. And I'm sorry and I want to put my tongue on the altar. It's a quite large church. He looked at that long altar and he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't think it's long enough. Have to put two altars together. Stretch that thing out like rolling a rug. Amen. When you put your tongue on the altar, you're actually putting the flesh on the cross. It's called suffering in the flesh. Suffering in the flesh is not being depressed. It's not letting the devil trump on you. It's taking authority. Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air, but I buffet my body and I bring it. He's suffering in the flesh. I bring it into subjection. Amen. Amen. I bring it into subjection. I bring it into subjection. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, what is it? Let the meditation of my mind and my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee, O God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that's good to edifying. Can you imagine what would happen? Some people, for the first week of applying that, it'd be like watching a silent movie. Amen? Because they say so many bad things that if they couldn't say a bad... What's the adage that goes along with that scriptural truth? If you can't say something good, don't say it. Can you imagine at the workplace how quiet it would be on Monday morning? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Listen, when we start maturing to the place that we say, not my will, but thine be done, and we want the words, the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth to be acceptable in His sight, and we stop and think what God's going to think of this before we blurt out this stuff. Amen. Can you imagine how things would begin to change? And when we do speak, let it be to what? To that will build up. See, I could hear, there are people in this room, you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you this. Just so you know, I'm not the only one that gets it. You get it too. And I defend you. A lady came to me about a person in this room this morning and said, did you know that so-and-so is a witch? And I know you folks, and I have never seen anything to indicate. I've seen people seek God. I've seen people confess when they were wrong. But I've never seen anybody practicing witchcraft. But did you know? And it was a revelation. This was a revelation that came through a prayer meeting. And I'm thinking, and who are you accusing of being a witch? And then she tells me, and I said, well, I can't go along with that. She said, but God showed me. I said, well... I said, you know, lady, I'll be honest with you. I'm the pastor of the church. And if anybody ought to know something like that, it ought to be me. And it ain't going to come through somebody else. I'm not going to take anybody's word for an accusation that strong. Can you say amen? I said, that God will have to talk to me. And I'm kind of baffled that he would tell you something he hadn't told me. And I said, on what basis do you say that? She said, God showed me. Oh, dear Lord in heaven, you've got to give me more than that. In fact, you better hush that. That's what you better do. You've got a hold of the wrong spirit. And boy, when I said that, then she lit into me, which proves she had the wrong spirit. Amen? Because when people are so convinced that God told them and God showed them, amen, that they can go around and blurt out things. And that's where the enemy comes in. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Amen. Even though it is a spiritual entity, even though it is influencing you, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits and see if they be of God. Can you say amen? And the more you know about God, the better you're equipped to try the spirit. Amen. Can you say amen? Because how can you know if they're of God if you really don't know the Lord? He has a personality. He has a character. Amen. He can be known. Praise God. And once you know what he's like, amen, he never changes. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can count on him remaining the same. I'm the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the rich man his money, the mighty man his strength, but he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Can you say, man, that I am the Lord that executes righteousness and justice and mercy in all the earth? Can you say, man? Hallelujah! And they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The whole book of Acts are people doing exploits because they knew their God. And they knew their God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Powerful. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Not just the knowledge of the armor and how to wage spiritual warfare, but the knowledge of God Himself. Because actually, when you put on the armor, you put on Christ. It's His truth. Not just truth generalized, but specific. Amen? It's His righteousness. It's His peace. It's His Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's all about Him. The Bible said, put on the armor of light. Praise God. You're going. Isn't it amazing that we're going up against the prince of darkness? And what is our armor? The armor of light. Can you say amen? Go in a darkened room. It doesn't matter how dark it is. Make it as dark as you can get it. Amen. And light, a little pin light, flashlight. And watch the darkness draw back. Dark has never put out light. But light always dispels darkness. So when this battle between light and darkness ensues, and the darkness is, oh, it's creepy. It'll creep you out. Don't get me wrong. Amen. The darkness is creepy stuff. Can you say, oh, and you hear all these things in the dark? Oh, you hear these sounds in the dark, in the dark, in the dark, in the dark. You heard the story of the little boy that the cupboard light was out, and she said, get me a can of peas out of the cupboard, one of those big things like we got here. But you go down the hall to a cupboard in that old house, and there was a light in the cupboard, and the light was out. You flip the switch, it wouldn't come on. Little boy goes in, opens the door, and says, Mama, the light's burnt out in the cupboard. He said, well, just go on in, reach over on the left-hand side, you'll feel them. Bring me a can of peas. He's looking in that darkness. He said, it's dark in there, Mama. And he said, don't be afraid, son. Jesus is in there too. He said, then tell him to hand me a can of peas. If he's in there, tell him to hand me them peas so I don't have to go in there. Fear and darkness go together. Satan's counting on. Amen. Us being so intimidated by the dark netherworld that we don't understand that we're clothed with the armor of light. Can you say amen? And the light has shined into the darkness. Darkness has no defense. Darkness comprehendeth it not. Can you say amen? In fact, light channeled in a pure form can become something that can go from here to the moon. It's something that can burn through solid metal called a laser. Can you say amen? A laser beam. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is the light of a sin-darkened world. Praise God. And we have become, as ambassadors of Him, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And I believe we ought to take an aggressive attitude. Evangelically, we should take an aggressive attitude that we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Can you say amen? Wow. I never did get started into this message. We will get there. Amen. But we're doing pretty good so far. For as much as Christ has suffered for you in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. After you have suffered for a while, he will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Suffering with him does not mean being depressed and fatalistic and letting the devil tramp on you. It means, amen, crucifying the flesh that you might walk free in the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No longer a bond slave to the will of the flesh, but a bond slave to the will of God through Jesus Christ. Free to serve God. See, he set them free from Egypt so they could go tiptoeing through the tulips and do their thing. Can you say amen? No, he set them free. He said, let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? God was specific. The reason I want them free is so they can serve me. And it doesn't mean they're going to get in a religious box, but it does mean they're going to acknowledge God. Can you say, man, you're not free to do your thing. You're free to serve Him. And that's where real liberty is, because otherwise you'll find yourself back in slavery. For whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, His servants you are, whom you obey, whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. Can you say, man, hallelujah. If you continue in my word, John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, you shall know the truth. My people perish for lack of knowledge, but if you continue in my word, you're going to know the truth. And not just the biblical principles, but a biblical person. What did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say, man, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Can you say, man, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby? Can you say, man, hallelujah? Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. Can you say, man, praise God, sanctify them through Thy Word, for Thy Word is truth. Can you say, man, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And that knowledge will set you free. Woo! Hallelujah. Free at last. Free at last. Woo! Great God Almighty, I'm free at last, son. Free from fear. Free from sin's dread sway. Free from Satan's diabolical schemes. Free from the flesh's desires. Not that I don't feel it, but I'm not obligated to carry it out. We can actually count ourselves as dead. That feeling comes and say, hey, you're talking to the wrong man now. I'm not the man I was. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. For we are buried with Him. We are raised with Him. The degree that we die to self is in direct correlation with the degree of resurrection power that can flow through our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The degree that we die to self, amen, is directly associated. So it's not enough just to talk in tongues. Amen. It's what we say when the tongues are open. Amen. By the way, the first thing that God did when they surrendered in that upper room to show He was in full control. Everybody say filled with the Holy Ghost before we close. Everywhere in the New Testament where it says full of the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost. Everywhere without exception. This is the way it would be rendered. Filled with and controlled by. If I'm not controlled by the Holy Spirit, the character of Christ is not being manifest in me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I am become, because of one fruit of the Spirit that is not manifest, I am become sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. I'm making a lot of noise, drawing a lot of attention to myself as someone spiritual. But in reality, there is nothing of true, the substance of Christ or God in it. It's empty. It's cold. Amen? Without love, fruit of the Spirit, it cancels the gift of tongues. So it's not what we say in tongues. It's not even just what we say in our language. Many times it's what we don't say. You know it's hard to hold your peace? Boy, it's hard for me to hold mine. You ever heard someone say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind? Amen. They've done it so often. There's nothing left. Just emptiness. Amen. How many pieces can you give away? You know, and it's a little bit, but it's such a little member. You know what the Bible says? It's like a rudder. You could look at the one of these great pleasure ships. That thing is how many hundred feet long? And you know what? You look at the rudder in relation to the ship. He said that rudder, it's so little. And yet, when you set that rudder, you set the course of that entire ship. It said ships are turned about by that rudder. And the tongue is the rudder for your ship. Can you say amen? And my ship. I catch myself. Have you ever caught yourself with this thing? He that suffered in the flesh, part of it, just holding your peace. Just flat hold. It's hard. Yes, it amen. You have to crucify the flesh. Because we all want to speak up. And the Bible said, a fool, here's something I've had trouble with. A fool answers the matter before he heareth it. Before he's done listening to what somebody's got to say, he's got to jump in there. And I had to learn that at these pastors' meetings. I hear somebody start talking about something, scripture starts rolling in my mind, and I just want to jump in there and give them all the scriptures. And the man hadn't even finished stating his case yet. And I have to sit there and crucify my flesh. And sometimes I want to come off that cross so bad. I want to get me a hammer and start pulling them nails out. But I don't all the time. Amen? And when I don't, I win. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Jesus, when they took him before Pilate as a lamb, he could have spoke the word and called 10,000 angels. But as a lamb, dumb before his shearers, he did what? He opened not his mouth. Can you say he had every reason to, except that he loved us? He came here to fulfill that purpose of love in God. Amen. And he held his peace. If he'd opened his mouth, amen, in vengeance, if he'd opened his mouth, amen, to hurt or to harm or to get back those that forsook him and denied him, amen, and those that took sick pleasure in watching him suffer, amen, this world would have been destroyed and there would have been no salvation. And Satan would have won the day. But as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Part of his suffering was holding his peace. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. But he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Can you say amen? That we don't live our life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Believe it or not, God has a will for you. And whether you like it or not, the things in your life, if you're cooperating with God's will, are working to bring you to where He wants you to be. He might want you to be where you are at that big plant down there. That might be God's will. Hard to believe, isn't it? But it must be, because there you is. Amen. There you is. Remember, no matter where you go, remember this. No matter where you go in life, there you are. Can you say amen? And I'm a proponent of blooming where you're planted. Amen. I don't believe God's going to promote anybody that can't be happy where they are. Amen. Hello? If you're discontent and you're just sitting around with the mully grubs, what happened when Israel came out and they got out of Egypt? Amen. And they got tired of what God was feeding them. Amen. Manna. Everybody say manna. You know what manna means? Manna means what is it? They'd never seen anything like that in their life. Amen. It would come down each day. It had to be fresh each day. You can't live on yesterday's testimony or yesterday's experiences. It was spoiled if you didn't eat it each day. Couldn't keep it overnight. Had to be something new every morning. Couldn't just be an old church member that just, you know, I'm glad that I was saved back in 1932. Got the Holy Ghost in 1933. Hallelujah. Sought it for 2 solid years, but I got it in 33. Bless God. And I'm sanctified too. I want you to know that. And filled with the Holy Ghost. 32 to now. Nothing's changed. Can you say amen? What about today? What about now? There's a freshness about God. He designed that heavenly food to be eaten daily. Praise God. Amen. Only exception was the Sabbath. You could on Saturday, you could keep it over Sunday so they didn't even have to go out to gather it, and it'd last you through that. But then it would spoil rotten. Amen. They got tired of heavenly food. Food you've been strengthening. Oh, by the way, it wasn't because it was bland either. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the texture was as coriander seed. I don't know much about coriander seed and texture like that, but I know something about the next thing it said. Amen. And its taste was as wild honey. sweet. Boy, to find a honeycomb back then, praise God, honey in the rock. Bees would build combs in rocks, and they would find them in the rocks, and they're just dripping with honey. And back when you couldn't get juju beans or chocolate-covered peanuts, can you say, man, finding honey in a rock was a big deal. You couldn't buy a candy bar, can you say, man? But you could find honey in the rock. And when they found honey in the rock, amen, they come to drink that honey. And God said, I'm not just going to give you that will sustain you. I want you to enjoy it. Yeah. Amen. The taste of it was wild honey. But even eating angel food cakes, praise God, that tastes like wild honey. They said, our soul loathes this light bread. And they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. Amen. They let them eat quail till it come out their nose. They gluttoned on it. Came up in their throat and literally came out their nose. And as they murmured about his provisions, snakes that couldn't touch them suddenly swarmed upon them. Dens of snakes together swarmed. And everyone began to be bitten. Can you say amen? Everybody say murmur. Everybody say this right here. This right here. God's a good God. God's been good to you and me. God gave his son for us. Can you say amen? I never did like to hear Christians saying, well, you know, I might come to church if God will do that. Or I might get right if God will do this. Honey, that's that you don't do that. Amen. You don't deal with God like that. You need salvation. You need mercy. You need grace. And you need a spirit of appreciation and gratitude amen. That God loved you and me enough to give his son amen. For us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need something called godliness with contentment, which is what? True riches. True. Say it with me, which is true riches, which is great gain. Hallelujah. Be content with such things as you have. For you didn't, newsflash. You didn't bring anything into this world but your bad self. Can you say amen? Everybody say my bad self. And I mean your bad self because you had to be born again. You were born into sin. You didn't just start doing it one day. It was in you from day one. That's why you got to be born again. Can you say amen? You brought nothing into this world but your bad self. And ain't nothing going to go out of this world. But your bad self. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That's why the gospel is not centered on the temporal and the material, but the spiritual and the eternal. Praise God. One day, we're all going to draw our last breath. And the moment we do, we're going to drop this body. Hallelujah. But we're not done. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've just begun. Hallelujah. It's worth it all. He that suffered in the flesh. God changed my message. I guess you know I'm not going to go and try to preach this now. He wants us to know about the furnishings in the tabernacle. And it's a wonderful message and I love to preach it. But this morning, for this audience, at this point in time, he wants us to understand, amen, what he offers us if we will embrace the cross. Amen. Deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him. Our flesh will suffer. Oh, it keeps you out of trouble too. When you suffer in the flesh. Aren't you glad you didn't get out of the car and whoop that person who gave you the bad finger? You're not glad? Well, I'm glad because I don't want to have to come visit you in jail. Amen? Amen? Don't you think it's good that you didn't get out and whoop them? Sure it is. Well, why didn't you? Because you're afraid of the law. The popo. The consequences. Amen? I remember one time, I started to pull out a red light, and a guy came through, or came, and he run me off of the road. He just run me clean off of the road, and honked his horn and gave me the bad finger after he run me off the road. So when he got straightened out, I come up behind him. He goes, and I goes, and I'm right there, and I'm glaring at him. I'm little, but I'm wiry. Say he. And I'm glaring at him in the mirror. I mean, now they'll kill you. You know, they'll just get out. They'll get out with a .45 and blow you away. And road rage. I was the rage one, but I could enrage him by being mad at him for running me off the road and giving me the bad finger. And I'm right up on his bumper. And the Lord spoke to me. It's kind of like a dog chasing a bus. You have to ask yourself, what would he do with it if he caught it? Can you say, what's he got? If the bus just stopped and the dog said, what now? You going to bite the bumper, the tire? What are you going to do with that bus? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, what are you going to do if he stops? What are you going to do if he stops and pulls over? What are you going to do, son? It's nothing. Then why are you on his bumper? I'm sorry. Take my foot off the accelerator and start easing back, hoping he didn't turn around and chase me. God is so good. Do you understand suffering in the flesh doesn't mean what we've taken it to mean? No fun, no happiness, in a box, can't enjoy life. Amen. Letting the devil trump on you. No, it's not that. You resist the devil when you crucify the flesh. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil from that vantage point, and he will what? And from that posture, he'll do what he has to do, because he has no choice, because we have given him no ground. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Give no place to the devil by submitting yourself unto God. That doesn't just mean taking authority over him. It means taking authority over you. Your flesh. Can you say amen? Everybody wants to know about the believer's authority over the devil. Hey, listen. How about your authority over you? Because if you can get you under control, he can't touch you anymore. Amen? Amen? Every man is tempted when the devil overcomes him, and you should just tell him, get out of here, be gone, devil, while you sip another brewski, smoke another weed. No, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can you say amen? And that word flee is powerful in the Greek. It means run as in panic. My mom and daddy had little trailers with clothes, a little bitty trailer. And it had the TV. Granddaddy didn't have a TV yet. Little old TV, about this big, stood about that high, a wooden cabinet, had a screen like that. Had a converter box on top, big brown converter box. The only station in Tampa area was it was a channel 38. I never forget the channel number, because I used to sit and watch the test pattern. They put that on an hour before the TV come on. And on Saturday morning, I was watching the test pattern, waiting for the cartoons. Broadcast out of St. Petersburg, Florida, from the Million Dollar Pier, the old one, and one station. And at night, on Friday night, they would have the vampire movies and stuff, the old black and white Boris Karloff stuff, you know. And so I would sit over there in the dark. My mother would be working. My dad would be over at my grandpa's house, which is about, you know, half a mile away. And I'd sit over there by myself, you know, and I'm watching all this stuff because it's Friday night, and that's when, and it's dark. There's no street lights. There's nothing. And it's dark. And I got through watching one of those, and, you know, there was vampires, you know, Boris Karloff types. You know, I want to suck your blood, you know. And I'm getting scareder and scareder and scareder. I'm already breaking out in a sweat, and it goes off. And now I'm scared to be over there by myself to wait on my mama to come home, my daddy to come back. So I'm gonna go to my daddy's house. And I get outside, and I shut the door, and I look both ways. Amen. Amen. And I start heading in the dark, because there's a path that led over to an area, and then you can go on down to my grandma's house. And I started walking, you know, and I had to go through these pine woods, and I'm walking through the pine woods, and I hear something. It's probably a pine cone. Just fell out of one of them pine trees and hit. And I hear something behind me go, choo. I freeze. Now I'm listening. My ears are tuned. And I hear that. And I'm thinking, I just come out of that, you know, the creepy things. And I'm thinking, if something wants me here, I'm in here by myself. That thing going to get me. I better run. Feet don't fail me now. Can you say? And I mean, I took off. I want to tell you something about the adrenaline gland. I wish somebody had clocked me. Can you say, man? Because when that fear gland kicks in, I felt like I felt when you're on a motor scooter. Amen. The breeze. You know how? I mean, I felt a breeze on me. I was running full out, and I couldn't help it because I thought, what if it's almost on me? I'm going fast. Well, what if it's near? And I thought, I got to look back to see. I'm running in panic now, panic mode. And so you're not thinking straight. And I look back over my shoulder. And when I look back, I didn't look forward. Does that make sense to you? When you're looking back to see where you've been, you can't see where you're headed. Can you say amen? So I look back to see where, if anything was chasing me, and running full out, right into a pine tree. Knocked me cuckoo. I actually knocked myself out. I'm laying on the ground. I come to with this big knot on my head in the dark. Now I'm really scared. I'm afraid to move. Vampire done hit me on the head. Coming to suck my blood. I'm going to tell you, when I got up, I didn't run the rest of the way. I kind of went on home like this. That's what it means to run in panic. If you get submitted to God, amen, all of this devil coming against me stuff is over. I'm telling you that you will never say, I would have done that, but the devil come against me. I would have overcome that, but the devil come against me. I would have pursued God, but the devil come against me. I would have been healed, but the devil come against me. Can you say amen? Submit yourself unto God. Hallelujah. And resist him. And resist him with the name of Jesus Christ, and he will run as in panic from you. And a devil running panic stricken from you is not going to stop you from following Jesus Christ and getting healed, getting delivered, obeying God. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Look over at somebody and say this. God wants us to get a good look at the backside of Satan. Somebody give him glory, not the devil, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Let's praise him today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did I give you a disc? I did. Praise the Lord. Number three, if you will. Let's just praise him today. Let's praise him today. Let's just give him some praise before we leave this room. Glory be to God.